Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. I know each of you are excited this week. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. The excitement has to be there. Why? Because your quarterback, rookie Will Levis, became the first rookie quarterback to pass for 300 or more yards on Monday Night Football. His first 300-plus yard passing performance, his first come-from-behind drive in the fourth quarter. Man, a lot of firsts, but it's not a first for the excitement because you guys have already been rocking with Will Levis. I've seen the tweets. I see how much his information is read. So we obviously are going to get into Will Levis for sure. We got Chris Sanders coming on. We got to talk shop there. Run TMC. We got DJ Bienname, ESPN NFL Nation Texas reporter. There's another rookie quarterback that I was hoping would play in this game. DJ is going to give you an update on him. And for the whole show, we got David James over there rocking it out too.
Yes, sir.
That's right. So we'll keep this thing going. And I want to start off, you know, with this Will Levis, this situation with him. I think, you know, this is another game in which he had at least 38 pass attempts. I mean, they're continuing to escalate. And I say this, right? He's had 7 starts. 3 of them, I'm going to double check to make sure that I have it correct. At least 3 of them have been 38 or more pass attempts. And that's a lot different as compared to, you know, what you've seen from these Titans quarterbacks, specifically Ryan Tannehill, over time. And if you wonder what I mean, well, from 2021 up until week 6 of this year, Tannehill had 3 games in which he had 39 or more pass attempts. So that number right there is something to look at. But what's more to look at is just the throws that he was able to make. I mean, you look at that throw, David, the one that he stepped into. Well, he couldn't really step into it because he had Bradley Chubb bearing down on him, and he just kind of like threw it all arm, and it was threaded through 3 defenders, and they hit DeAndre Hopkins right in the hands. Perfect catch there. Then you had he underthrew Hopkins a little bit on that go route. I thought the throw to Traylon Burks was a good one, and the thing that he's showing is that he's willing to push that ball down the football field. But then there are other times where he does come off of the deep route and he hits the, you know, the crosser or the check down when necessary. And he said on Wednesday, actually, you know, he's understanding that, you know, chunk the ball down the field. You can't go broke making a profit. The fact that he evolved, because if you remember in week 2, well, not his second start, right? So that was week 10 against the Steelers. He took shots but had Kyle Phillips opening up underneath. There's a progression there. And I think that's really good as a quarterback to be able to evolve, right? And to be able to find ways to get better from the mistakes that you've made before. You're already seeing it. And that's a really outstanding thing. But I want to focus on, honestly, is just that relationship that you're seeing start to build with he and DeAndre Hopkins. And it's funny because Hopkins initially was like, hey, I'm going to give him a break. But now it's to the point where he's very demanding of him. And you want to know example, look, 2 weeks ago when they had the disagreement, you know, he stood there on the sideline like, come on, you know, because Hopkins thought he was going to be able to do one thing. Levis thought he was going to do the other. And there was a disagreement. But here is DeAndre Hopkins after the Dolphins game with NFL Network's my guy, Cameron Wolf. Check this out.
On your quarterback, Will Levis is a rookie, but what did you see in him, and especially in that fourth quarter as he's leading you guys for the comeback?
I saw a dog out here today. That kid is going to be great, man. I'm always in his ear trying to help him, you know, read defenses and be better. I know he still got a lot in his tank. I know he can improve, even though, you know, he came out here and beat these guys today, but I'm going to still be on the Monday when we go back and let him know that there are certain things that he can improve on, but, man, Will show heart. I love competing and playing with him.
There you have it right there. You know, and I think that's something that you have to look at just as far as like the way, okay, he had a 327 yard passing performance and he found me in the end zone for what, you know, set up the go-ahead touchdown later. Or actually, no, that was the winner. He found me in the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown. But there's still another level that I want to unlock. I think that is the kind of thing that is going to make Will Levis a much better player. You know, another thing is the confidence, you know, that he is starting to gain as he is able to just, hey, man, DeAndre's down there somewhere. YOLO, and push it down the field. Here's Will Levis on those YOLO throws. And this was after the game on Monday.
That was the one at the 2 minute, at the end of the half.
Yeah.
He tells me sometimes, hey, man, just throw it out to me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's not. But each and every week, I feel like I'm slowly believing that sometimes it is okay just to throw it out to him. But, you know, got to be smart with it. And he had him beat. And I think I underthrew it a little bit. And for him to just have the body control just to kind of catch it or track it and catch it, you know, he's special in that respect. So, glad that we were able to get him the ball as much as we could.
So right there, it tells you, right, that it's starting to get to a point where he's just like, I'm going to put the ball up there. That's something to Ryan Tannehill. I remember talking to him earlier in the year, you know, just about that faith and that trust in Hopkins to go up and get it. And those throws that you say are 50-50 becoming, you know, 90-10 or something along those lines. How many times actually have you seen Hopkins actually become a defender, right, and save the ball from being intercepted? It happened two or three times. So there's the confidence right there, and I think that's good. But it's just when you have a veteran receiver like that, and that's something that Mike Vrabel touched on when I asked him about that relationship. You know, he said when a veteran receiver like Hopkins is very important for a quarterback's development. And that's why I think it's imperative to make sure that he's back next year as well, and maybe even beyond that. But when you look at that relationship and just how it could be a security blanket, how it could be someone who could tell you, okay, these are the ways defenses are adjusting to what I'm doing. This is the way we have to adjust. Like back and forth, it's magical. And being able to have that mutual respect where, you know, I'll call you out in front of millions watching and the thousands here in this stadium. Like, I will call you out about it, but we're not going to have an issue. And it being vice versa. As a rookie quarterback, to be able to be very demonstrative in telling the veteran future Hall of Fame wide receiver some of the things that he is able to tell them, right? And I think that's an outstanding thing. In fact, I'm going to give you what Will Levis said when I asked him, you know, about that relationship and how it evolved. Here's Will Levis on the Hopkins and Levis relationship evolved.
Yeah, I think it's evolved in what he's expected out of me, and then in turn, just what I can expect out of him. And when I first started playing, it was very black and white. I think, like, he's a guy when he has developed a chemistry with his quarterback, that he's able to do things that puts himself in a better position to succeed. But it can be a little different, and that can scare like a rookie quarterback. So that's something I'm just working through with him and understanding the different kind of variations that could happen with the different routes he's running. We saw it a couple times on Monday, being able to just recognize it and just stay with him and trust him and taking it. And then continuing to understand, you know, how we're seeing coverages. Like, there was a third down the other night where, sure, he might have been the last read in the coverage, but I got to really know, like, it's this coverage. If this player does this, I can move on and I can find him earlier and get us a first down, opposed to, you know, checking it down and punting it away. So
you heard it right there. You know, that lets you know, you know, how important that is. And I tell you another thing that's important, to be honest with you, is having a guy like Derrick Henry back there. You know, you could turn around and give him the football, man, and it's crazy because, you know, it's like every time he touches the ball, every time he plays, just suits up and gets on the field, like the names Eric Dickerson, you know, now Curtis Martin, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, these are names that you're – Marshawn Lynch, these are names that you're kind of like bringing up. I mean, Jim Brown. Jim Brown has 89 career rushing touchdowns. Derrick Henry has – 87. I mean, like, it's very close. Derrick Henry, in fact, hold on. Derrick Henry, I believe, is 88 now. He's two behind Curtis Martin and Eric Dickerson. Having a guy like that to give the football to, it helps so much. And that's something that Mike Vrabel has stressed, right? Being able to run the football and that leading to the play action passing game. So that way they're not always doing 100% pure drop back passing. And that's a great point that he made. And he pointed to how the Dolphins play also, where they're putting Tua on the move. It's not just pure drop backs. And I know there's been some confusion from when he said before that they don't want to get into a situation where they're, you know, doing 40 drop back passes. And they're not, even though Levis is attempting 38, 39, 39 times, you know, passes, they're not always a straight drop back. So what Vrabel is saying is still holding true, but you're just seeing a bit more success. And his ability to move within the pocket, you know, that's something else that is really outstanding. And the relationship that he has building with Tajay Spears, I mean, you saw the throw. Man, and that was a drop in the bucket throw to Tajay Spears that I thought that was really good. And one thing I love, ladies and gentlemen, is when you see the work that a guy does after practice, during practice, come to fruition on the football field. And that over-the-shoulder catch that Tajay Spears made, that was a catch that he and Chigakonkwo, and I know everybody has had their qualms with Okonkwo for the drops, and rightfully so, but I will tell you this. They spend time after practice together on the jugs machine, and then they also spend time after practice just working on over-the-shoulder catches. And one of the things I remember talking to Okonkwo is, and it was something that I told him, is that, you know, your confidence is built through the work that you put in. If you know you put that work in, you know you're going to have those results. And that's exactly what you're starting to see. And I kind of transitioned from Levis to Tajay Spears because of that throw, because it made me think of talking to him after the game on Monday. And, you know, this is what he said. I want you to hear it for yourself, because I thought this was really good.
You know, like, I never go, like, into the weeks, like, getting my hopes up. I just, you know, I'm there. I ain't going to say I'm there, but, like, you know, I'm here to, you know, make plays. And I guess that's what just came about tonight. It just hit me when I was open. It just hit me on the check downs, and, you know, we made something happen.
As far as your route running and, you know, the ability to catch the ball and make somebody miss, is that something that, you know, you've always had? Have you worked towards that? Did you do that a lot in school?
Yeah, of course, like, in high school, like, I was, like, half and half, so I did slot receiver and I did running back. So, you know, it kind of faded a little bit because I was, you know, the primary back in Tulane. I get 25 carries. Probably two throws behind the line a game, but of course, like, that's something, like, you know, your craft, you got to work on it every day. If you want to, you know, if you want to be good in this league, but if you want to be great in this league, you got to, you know, work on it day in and day out.
And then speaking of working day in and day out, we see you, you know, when we're out there after practice, we see you, Chig, you guys are spending extra time. You feel like what happened today, like, that's a result of that?
Man, that over-the-shoulder catch, man, that's come from, like, me getting on drills, like, over-the-shoulder balls, and also me and Chig, we stand, like, numbers apart from numbers, so, we stand, like, the numbers apart, and we just throw the ball over the shoulder. And, like, we just be playing, like, you know, throwing dimes. Like, we just say we throwing dimes to each other, but, like, just tracking it over the shoulder. We worked on that part. We ain't working on the part where I fumbled it, though. Like, I got to clean that up. That ain't me right there.
So there you have it right there. I mean, look, you got Tajay Spears. You got Chigakonkwo. You got Will Levis, right? And a very good young core that I think is something that can really continue to be built upon. It's still the season, so we're not going to focus on the draft. But, I mean, imagine if you supplement that with, you know, Keon Coleman out of Florida State, Xavier Leggett, South Carolina, or even, you know, Xavier Worthy, or you get the local kid, right, from Cane Ridge. I went to Cane Ridge, A.D. Mitchell. Like, there's a lot of guys that you know, could come in and really give you something exciting to look forward to in the future. So, speaking of looking forward to things, we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We're going to come back and bring in Chris Sanders for Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Run TMC. For you.
Fresh.
Here we go. The music fades. The lights dim. And now
coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. At point guard from Oregon State, number 20, Gary.
Oh my God.
Payton.
And now, the starting wide receiver for the Washington Commanders, Art Monk. Dude, you do look like Art Monk, though, man. You do look like Art Monk, man. I saw him in person, man. He's got some of the biggest hands I've ever seen in my life, dude.
He does have big hands, and he had a big attitude, too. I worked.
Are you lying?
Oh, yeah, I worked his football camp. Matter of fact, you know the linebacker that played for the Colts, Cato June?
Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
He's now their assistant linebackers coach, but we were roommates.
No way.
Art Monk camp in 1997. And Art Monk was such a jerk to us.
Are you serious?
So you brought up that name, and I couldn't laugh. I couldn't laugh.
But, dude,
it's
man,
all right. It's all right. We're going to keep this thing going because
yeah.
You know, I was watching old baseball clips from 1987, and this guy hit 49 home runs for the Cubs. And I had to look a little bit closer because I thought it was you, but it was Andre Dawson.
Oh, yeah. But on that note, too, hey, I was going to share it. I was going to save it, but I got one for you on Sunday that's going to blow your mind. But I'm going to share this with you today. Man, I was watching the Jeffersons, man. You know how Jefferson, Mr. Jefferson had a little afro, a little cul-de-sac. But then somebody knocked on the door and walked in, and my daughter was like, man, is that TD? I'm like, baby, no, nah, man, that's Lionel Jefferson. That's his son.
Hello? I couldn't even finish it, man. Let's talk some shop. All right, so here we go. Let's start with this, because this is something that I wanted to talk to you about.
Sure.
Because I've been asking, you know, I asked Mike Vrabel about it. I asked Tim Kelly about it last week. And, okay, so early in the game, they got Treylon Burks the football. And I'm like, oh, okay, this could be prime time, first-round pick that they had last year to try to get him the ball. Okay. Then it didn't happen. 46 snaps, 2 targets. What are you seeing from this? What's the problem?
I don't know. They got to figure out a way to get him the ball. And I went back and watched the film. You know, a lot of the routes are running is clear routes. He runs a lot of clear routes, but also – you know, there's no – it's like he's not even in the progression of actually getting the football, because if you want to get a receiver the ball, you're going to actually get it to him. And if they play a certain defense or they pick up something, what you do is you switch in position. When I say switch in position, make the Hopkins the X or the Z or vice versa, let Trex be the Z or the X. So if you want to find a way to get Treylon Burks the ball, you're going to get him the ball. I think, you know, Tim Kelly's got to figure out a way to get his ball, because there's just a talent out there that's been wasted.
As a speed guy, back in your day, did you find yourself having to run a lot of those routes? And if so, like, how did you handle, like, man, I'm running these routes for nothing, as T.O. said?
My rookie season, I got a lot of press coverage. So it allowed me to where if it's press, I'm running a D route anyway. But then once we started getting more receivers in there like Kevin Dyson and, you know, Yancey Thigpen, Derek Mason, Isaac Burr, guys like that, to where sometimes I had to run a clear out and let those other guys come underneath. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Just say we're in a 2 wide receiver set. I'm the number 1 wide receiver. I run a go route and I clear everything out. And the number 2 receiver runs an out route. I clear out so he can get to that void so he can make the catch. So, yes, I would get kind of frustrated because, you know, I want to catch the ball sometimes. But at the end of the day, if that was my role later on in my career, then that was just something that was tough to swallow. But it was something that I had to do.
Do you think that there's – you said something interesting to me earlier where you said if you want to get him the football, you're going to get him the football. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, okay, let me give you a perfect example. If you look at Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill has 9 men on him, but the offensive coordinator creates different routes that goes with what he does to get those guys at it. Let me give you a perfect example. We always talk about levels. You got one guy going deep. You got number 2 running the intermediate route, and you got one that's going a little deeper. There's the levels. So what you got to do as an offensive coordinator, switch them up at different positions as opposed to what the defense saw on the film. So if the defense hasn't seen it, they can't adjust to it. So I just think that they got to find different ways to get Traylon Burks to football. But at the end of the day, if you're just running clear routes and running post and all that, then you're just wasting a talent out there.
Yeah, that play action hit him on the dagger route. Like, what happened to that? That's something, you know, they did that. Chris Moore had a 22-yarder on it. But, I mean, it is something you want to see more. Let's flip it to the other side. Yeah. Look at what they did. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, he had some injuries, an injury, and was out for a bit. But overall, when you look at that defensive performance against that second, against that group of receivers, what did you like about it?
I thought it was awesome. But you know why the secondary could cover so well is because our front was putting pressure on Tua. Tua didn't look like the quarterback that he looked earlier in the season. He's throwing darts and, you know, he's having all these yards. I think he has close to 4,000 yards. But when you're getting pressure up front and you're getting him off his spot and he doesn't have enough time to go through his progression, it makes it easier in the back end. Because if you look at how many sacks they had, 5 sacks. Landry had 3. That means they're consistently putting pressure. I mean, because if you look at Tua, Tua didn't look comfortable at all the whole game. But the reason why is because you had the big boys up front. You had Archery. You had Landry. You had all those guys that were putting pressure on Tua. So he was panicking. And Arden Key got him off his spot. So when you have that situation, that back end is going, it's going to be easy for those cats.
Yeah, and Harold Landry, I asked him about the sacks coming in a bunch like that. And he said that they're playing very cohesive as a unit, and I quote, balls to the wall, and that's why those sacks were coming like that. And they did it without Simmons, which is crazy to me. Simmons, I will say this, just a nugget for you. Simmons, he has a brace on his right knee. I don't think he's going to play this week, but that is something of note. Let's keep talking about this, this secondary, because Christian Fulton is out. I mean, that's – it may be it for him. It may be it.
So
how do you think Sean Murphy, Bunning, Trey Avery, McCreary, how do you think those guys could hold up going for the rest of the season?
I think they're going to be okay. And you know who I really, really like is I like Bunting. You know the reason why I like him? I know he gets beat occasionally, but when he gets beat, he comes back and makes a play. And that play can be a batted ball down, but also the tackles on some of the running backs. So I love his attitude. I love his mindset. He said, yeah, we're going to get beat because they get paid too. But I love his tenacity. I love how he attacks the football. I love the way he tackles. I love, you know, where he's chirping to people. I got this, you got this, and I got that, because they're communicating with the secondary. But, you know, overall, if the front keeps playing like they did last week, then I think the secondary is going to be okay. Because if you look at some of those sacks that, you know, the Titans had last week, it was because those were coverage sacks. When I say coverage sacks, that means there's nobody open downfield. And when you don't have nobody open downfield, that means Tua's going to pat the ball. He's hesitant to throw it. Why? Because your secondary is doing their job and they're communicating with each other.
To your point about Sean Murphy Bunting, the tackle. Mm-hmm. So Raheem Mostert, man, listen, they got a 4x1. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do. Team.
Raheem Mostert was almost he almost hit that outside, and Murphy Bunting was able to take him down. That's an open field solo tackle on a guy who has speed for days. And then a few plays later, he had the pass breakup to force the field goal. And I will say this, that red zone defense, they deserve a round of applause, because, you know, they are number one in the league in red zone defense. The Dolphins were number one in the league in red zone offense. And guess what? You're going 75% scoring. When you get inside the 20, you're holding a team to 35%. They not only get in the red zone, they get in the low red zone. We're talking about 10 yards and in all 5 times and only get 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is it was a different energy, man. It was a different feel. And you know where that energy came from? It came from practice. And the reason why it came from practice is because all week they kept hearing what the Titans were going to do. They're going to get blown up. Their defense is not going to be good because Simmons and Fulton is out. There's no possible chance. You don't think they're hearing that in the locker room? You don't think they're hearing that on the radio? You don't think their family members are saying that thing? They came out to play football. I know they started out slow. Absolutely, they started out slow. But when the game was on the line, TD, that defense stood and that offense made plays.
Is Will Levis that dude?
He's close to being that dude. And you know what I love about him? This is what I love about him. I know his arm strength. I know he's tough. I know he's swole. I mean, I know he's got a tenacity. But I love his mindset. You know why I love his mindset? This is what I mean. Is last week, the week before, when they went against the Indianapolis Colts, they lost. They lost in overtime, and he was pissed. He didn't want to talk to the media. He was upset. But instead of him getting bitter, he got better and came back in this game and lit it up. You see what I'm saying? That's the mentality that you're talking about, because a lot of young quarterbacks will be gun-shy. A lot of quarterbacks will be like, you know, I'm hesitant to make plays or trying to step out and be a leader. This kid, when they played the Miami game, he took command of the whole offense. He took command of the sidelines. He took command of what was going on, and he never wavered. So when you have a guy like that, that brings attitude and brings a tenacity, that brings a fight, look at how it rubbed off, not just on the offense, it rubbed off on the defense, and that's why they won, because he was the best player on that field. I'm telling you, he was.
You know, Harold Landry said that in the locker room on Wednesday. He said, you know, his energy rubs off on us. He was like, I didn't realize that, you know, he was like that. You know what I mean? But it absolutely rubs off on us, and we feel that energy. So that's a great point to make there. I want to end it on this. DeAndre Hopkins, Will Levis, that relationship. You see them able to have disagreements but move on. You see them, you know, holding each other to a high standard.
Right.
What does that relationship, like, what does that do for Levis? You know, having a veteran receiver like that to – you know, speak up about you, but tell you, hey, look, great job, but we got to get better.
You know the reason why I love this relationship is because they're both not above learning from each other. That's rare, because a lot of guys get in the field. Man, I know what to do. I've been through this before. But you talk about a veteran in Hopkins that's listening to a rookie, and then you got a rookie that's listening to a veteran. So now you have, you know, Hop with his expertise of saying, okay, if I'm doing this, I need you to do this. And then you got Will Levis saying, I need you to take this release because that's better for me. They're willing to learn from each other. They're willing to trust each other. They're willing to say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, and let's be better in that. Because if you look at the whole situation, you got a quarterback that trusts a wide receiver, and you got a wide receiver that trusts his quarterback, and he'll throw it anywhere, anytime, any place. Why? Because he knows that Hop's going to make that play.
That's it right there. I couldn't get any smoother than that. I always knew you were a smooth dude, and it's funny. My daughter, Devin, must have known that too, because we were watching The Incredibles. And you know that guy that, like, he shoots the ice and then he travels on the ice in the movie?
Yes.
You may not know him, but
I know who
he is. She was like, that reminds me. You sure that's not the guy that you do radio with, Chris Sanders? I said, nah, baby, that's not Chris. That's Frozone.
Hey, but guess what, man? I was watching, you know, a stand-up comedy, right? And we were laughing at that. And then, you know, my daughter tapped me on the shoulder. She's like, Dad, I didn't know that was TD. I said, baby, no, that's Charlie Murphy.
What the five fingers say to the face.
Oh, man. Get off my phone, good.
This is Will Levis, and I'm talking with TD.
Day by day, it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope.
Break. Talking with TD. We keeping this thing rolling. I like this, man. That Will Levis intro. The Ghetto Boys' minds playing tricks on me with the music. That only means we're going to go to Houston. We are going to bring in a guy who covers a fellow rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. That's my dog, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, DJ Bienname. DJ, what's good, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, man. You know, always nice to hear from you, brother. Always nice to hear from you.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know how it is. We wild out in the group chat and, you know, take it to the airwaves, to the radio. First things first, C.J. Stroud. Obviously, you had the tough concussion later in the game. What do you think is going to happen with him? You think he's someone that's going to play on Sunday?
No, I doubt it. I mean, he didn't practice today. There's a five-step protocol when you're in the concussion protocol, and obviously, you know, you got to get back on the field. And, you know, as you've covered the NFL for a while, Wednesdays and Thursdays are the biggest days in terms of being able to return to practice. If you're, you know, there was an injury, if you miss Wednesday, you're then, even if you practice on a limited basis, like, that doesn't necessarily, like, bode very well. And then again, like, the hit that he took was kind of reminiscent of, like, the one that Tua took against the Bengals, where, you know, you just basically had to D-line him, slam you into the turf, and you kind of, you know, withering in pain. And I remember last year when Tua suffered his, he missed two games after that one. So I could see a scenario where, you know, TJ is out for sure this week. Like, my prediction, he's for sure not playing this week. It doesn't really make too much sense Because you also got to factor in, like, he got checked last week against the Broncos for potential concussion. He passed that, you know, so maybe this had been building a little bit, and then obviously, you know, it came to fruition to where it was what it was on Sunday against the Jets. So I think for his own safety and for the Texans' long-term investment, it'd be best to send him out this week for sure.
You see a whole different vibe and energy with this team, at least me from a distance. I'm sure you see it up front. So let me ask you, how has this team changed, just their aura, their swagger, with a guy like C.J. Stroud at quarterback and DeMeco Ryans as the head coach?
Yeah, I think you know, much credit to DeMeco for getting the people in building that needed to be in the building. But if I had to put a legitimate proportion, it'd be like 35-25 C.J. to DeMeco. And that's no taking no shots at DeMeco, because DeMeco looks like he's gonna be a really good coach. But as you know, in this league, man, if you don't got a quarterback, you don't really got a shot. Like, it's not like Bill Belichick just forgot. It's not like Bill forgot how to coach football. He just don't have the horses at quarterback and on offense, you know. And we see it just like Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin ain't forget how to coach. Even, you know, even though the offense is struggling, but he didn't forget how to coach. He just doesn't have, like, a legitimate, like, star type of quarterback. And the fact that the Texans have one that can become a legit superstar type, that's been the biggest change from last year to this year. Because as you know, like, having kept up with the AFC South, there was a lot of games last year where the Texans lost because they just didn't have a guy at the quarterback position. And this year they do. And that's been the biggest difference in my eyes, is that obviously, you know, different schemes, a little more pieces, better O-line from a pass-blocking standpoint, when healthy, more talent on the defensive side. But in reality, man, you know, they've had a lot of one-score games, and they've been able to get out a lot of those one-score games mainly because they got a guy at quarterback, right, against the Bengals, got a guy that can get you down there, just feel their range against the Bucks, guy that can score a touchdown with 47 seconds left. So, again, if you got a guy, you got a shot.
Absolutely, and we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter DJ Bienname. DJ, the relationship, Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud is, I mean, it's on display. The success is there. How have you seen those guys work together and just get him in just a position for success?
Yeah, man, I would say Bobby's done a really good job in the sense of, like, putting C.J. in position to succeed a lot, right? Like, you can tell that he has a really good sense on what teams, 10 teams are going to be for specific plays. You know, I remember his play. He called a play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, basically like a play action pass crosser where, you know, you got the big post and you got a crosser right coming over. And he knew based off of just how the game was going and on top of how the Todd Bowles' tendencies were, they were going to be in a favorable look. And then he called that play, boom, a 75-yard touchdown to Noah Brown from C.J. Stroud, where Noah Brown was able to sprint down the sideline. So, like, there's been so many plays in that capacity where Bobby Slowick is really being able to attack their tendencies and C.J.'s been able to capitalize off of it.
From a defensive perspective, how has DeMeco Ryans got these guys ready? And Will Anderson specifically, you know, what have you seen from him?
Will is starting to form into the guy that they drafted number 3 overall, traded up for, to be that staple of their defense. He's starting to round into that. Obviously, with Gernard's played really well on the edge. You got Sheldon Rankins, you got Malik Collins. Like, they've all been able to play extremely well, mainly because they got DeMeco putting them in position to make plays, right? And then on the back end, granted, like, they've been up and down throughout the year. Like, I thought that year would be a lot better than what it has been, but, you know, it's year one. That's to be expected. It's hard to teach a whole new defense, secondary-wise, a new scheme, and everybody can, you know, play at a high level that year one, especially when you have a whole bunch of, you know, pieces in and out due to injuries. But, again, there's still been some really high moments, right? Like, they're extremely being able to have games of multiple interceptions, or, again, Will Anderson being able to have multiple sack games while being under pressure at a high rate. Because he had one of the best pass rush win rates in the entire NFL. I believe he's in the top 5. So DeMeco has put the guys in position to succeed more often than not, which is why, you know, in a lot of games where it come down to the wire, down the stretch, they've been able to make plays.
I really like Jalen Petrie, man. I was big on him at the Senior Bowl, and I think he's become a solid safety. But that tandem, he and Jimmy Ward, what do you see from them? How do they impact the defense?
They're playmakers, And they, you know, they have ability to fly around, and they're very instinctual players. It's just that it's been a little up and down at times this year, where like they'll be like a step slow or a step out of place, and then now kind of throw things off. So that's my, like, they have the talent, they got the ability, like, they're great football players. They just, like, this year has just been a little bit more up and down from a coverage standpoint at times. Just being honest, like, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I was like, oh, yeah, no, they've been playing at a high level the whole year. Nah, they've been up and down.
No, keep it a buck.
Yeah, like, they've been up and down at times. Obviously, they both dealt with injuries. And again, like, for Jalen, learning a completely different system that doesn't necessarily, like, it fits to his strength in some aspects, but the coverage is a little different for him, and he's having to, like, learn that. He's only in the second year, so there's been a progression with that. Jimmy Ward, obviously, been in and out of the lineup from time to time, whether it's with soft tissue injuries, with his hamstring or groin, things like that, or hip. But when he has been in there, he has been able to make some plays. Obviously, the game-winning interception against the Broncos. So it's not like these guys – I wouldn't be saying they've been up and down if they didn't have the time to play at a high level. They had the time to play at a high level, and, like, that should be the standard for them. Like, I'm not – if this was the backup safeties, I wouldn't be saying this. I'd be like, no, they've been solid, right? Because that's what you expect. But these guys, like, they have another level they can tap into, in my opinion.
Real quick, on the other side of the ball, Nico Collins, he went out. This team is already without Tank Dell. I don't know what the status of Dalton Schultz is, but Nico Collins, he went out. And, yeah, what do you think the plan is going to be for him for this game?
So I got Dalton came out of practice today, so that's good. Nico did not practice, so I don't necessarily think he's going to play this week. And if he doesn't play this week, then that puts the passing attack in a very, very difficult bind in that regard. Because you watch the film from last week against the Jets, they struggled, mainly because they didn't have guys that can win their one-on-ones, right? You know, the receivers didn't win their one-on-ones consistently, so the Jets took advantage of that. So if Nico's out and you have Davis Mills in there, they're going to have to run the ball a lot.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'll let you out on this because I know it's a debate that I've seen you a part of in different times, and that's since actually you just saw the both of them on the field at the same in the same game. Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley, who's the better corner?
I'm still gonna right now, like, Sauce has the edge, but I still would take Stingley long term because he has ball skills, and you and I both know in this league, if you got ball skills, That matters more. That's more impactful because you can take the ball away, right? If I throw at a cornerback and the most I got to worry about is a pass breakup, on third down, I'm going to just punt and flip the field. But a guy that can take the ball away, that flips the entire tenor of the game. And Stingley against the Broncos, his two interceptions flipped the tenor of the game in that regard. I think one of them is they were able to go and score off of it. So that's why I'm always leaning with a guy that takes the ball away more than the guy that just has great coverage.
I'm with you on that. I'd rather have the turnover. There you have it right there, DJ Bieniemy. Make sure you check out. He has a dope story on ESPN.com. You like the stories where you get to know a player off the field. Make sure you check it out. The Texan center, Dieter Eiseland, I think that's how it pronounce his name. But, you know, he's a rugby player in South Africa, and he's now a football player here. So check that out. DJ, we appreciate you coming on, and definitely I look forward to seeing you. When you come up here, you already know. Hit me up.
All right.
So that was DJ Bieniemy, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter. Definitely appreciate him coming on. You get all the knowledge there. I love the way that he's able to look at the game and understand it. It's great to have a fellow reporter be able to do that. So definitely make sure you continue to rock with us, man. Appreciate Chris Sanders from Run TMC. Appreciate David for making this thing happen.
Yes, sir.
And most of all, I appreciate each of you. Definitely. Hey, listen, we didn't talk much about Treylon Burks in my segment, but you heard what Chris Sanders said about him. I took heed to that. Check out Whiteboard Wednesday. I got a breakdown on how to get Treylon Burks the football. So make sure you check that out. We got stuff on ESPN.com. Make sure you continue to rock with us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.